Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of The 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. I am so excited that you are back and listening to another episode of this podcast. Thank you to everyone who is brand spanking new listening, and also to everyone that has left a review. I really, really, really do appreciate those. So please do keep them coming. If you are listening and you have not yet reviewed this show, then do it now. Like, I don't know what's stopping you. Do it now. If you checked out Monday's episode, you'll know that I'm, of course, joined by Nathan Bryan again. He is a phenomenal writer and actor. He is best known to viewers for his role as a regular character as Jamie in Some Girls on BBC Three and Ben Adorm's Joey. Nathan has written for the critically acclaimed CBBS cartoon Rasta Mouse, BAFTA award-winning Swashbuckle and Apple Treehouse. Nathan currently has his cartoon series Afro Kid, and he just got a 3-book deal for his picture book series, which is going to be hitting the shelves in 2019. In this episode, we talk about how to work with your partner on intense projects without breaking up. Trust me, I can relate to this one. What a production Bible is and what you should put in it, and why email is your best friend, and how you can find anyone's email address. Nathan is all about being audacious, if you haven't noticed already, and you will find out why. So let's go. Who did you want to be before you became who you are, and why?
Oh my God. Who did I want to be? Like, person.
It could be a person. I mean, I feel like all my questions are open to interpretation. I like to see where you run with this.
Oh,
I would prefer a person if that helps as a preference.
Like, maybe Keenan and Kel.
Oh my God,
them.
I love them.
Like, when I, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, when I first saw them.
Both of them at the same time.
Yeah, maybe. Just have real quirkisms and like, you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe. Maybe them.
I see that for you.
Yeah, like, I would love that. And like, I didn't have Sky. This is no sob story as a kid. I mean, put some violins onto this. I didn't have Sky.
I had cable.
Yeah, I didn't have any. I had 1 to 5 until I was 18, and then we got Sky, right? And then when we got Sky, I was like, whoa.
I'm sorry, how old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26 and you only got Sky, like, in the last...
Yo.
8 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick
literally
math.
And literally we got the new box which fast forwarded the thing because my auntie had it before, and that's why we'd go, well, we obviously went around to see her, but she had Sky, so we were just like, wow.
Oh wow.
So yeah, Keenan and Kel, I saw at my auntie's and I was like, I want to be them,
I think.
Oh, and now David Attenborough. I'd love to be him.
That's really random.
Yeah.
Why David Attenborough?
Because he gets to see whales jump out of the water and shit and get paid.
I feel like he doesn't do that anymore.
Well, he might do some green screen things, but if he wanted to, he could.
So I feel like he's definitely got the scope and the reach and the finances to get to anywhere he wants.
Yeah, and also the BBC are going to pay for him.
Definitely.
And, he's going to get that nice check. I was thinking the other day, I shouldn't say this.
Go for it.
But
just
who is going to take over him when he dies? Who's going to be the voice? Who is going to be the voice of planet Earth?
I don't...
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal because David Attenborough is honestly a living legend.
Yeah, so who the hell is going to come?
I just feel like they would just do something really crazy. Like,
yeah, Danny Dyer. It'll be Danny Dyer.
Or June Sarpong.
I would love
that,
though.
Just throw that in the mix.
I would love that.
I don't know. I feel like that would throw me off so horrendously. Like, what is happening?
I mean, where's David Attenborough? It'd be kooky.
It would definitely be different. It would definitely be unexpected from the
people. Yeah, I wouldn't see it. But I could imagine them doing something like, something weird.
Danny Dyer, I kind of see that being a logical next step for them. So, when have you ever channeled Keenan and Kel?
When have I ever channeled them?
When have you? And what happened? And what made that so special?
Like, well, my just growing up as a teenager, I think in London, and just, well, Panda Pops were my thing. Remember Panda Pops?
Yes, I do remember Panda Pops.
Panda Pops were wild. The strawberry cream and cheesecake.
I didn't have that flavor.
Strawberry cheesecake and cream. Drinking those would make me feel quite like Keenan and Kel.
They were such significant figures for me growing up.
Loved them.
And Keenan and Kel, I mean, my personal favorite episode was I Put the Screw in the Tuna.
I've never seen it.
Stop it.
I've heard the saying for years.
Okay, you know what? You cannot even say. You can't even say.
I'm sorry.
You cannot even say Keenan and Kel are like the people you wanted to aspire to when the best, honestly, the best episode they've ever made was The Screw in the Tuna.
I haven't seen it. I'm a scumbag.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm not even joking. That's true.
It is the single most best episode of Keenan and Kel.
Everyone always says that and I'm like,
No. I feel like it's one of those things that people will hype up, but it will genuinely match up that hype. Like, it's
worth it.
So funny.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Please watch it.
I will.
Please do that.
I feel like I can't go around saying that and then not have seen it. I felt like a fraud for a while.
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but here
fine.
We are.
It's a safe space. I can take that out. I can take it.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit away from the, clearly you are a funny guy.
Oh, thanks.
I actually came across your work for the first time at Seoul.
Oh.
Where Bossman was screening for the first time, I believe. And I remember we had to kind of, they didn't act as, we weren't judges. Mm. Like, there was none of that. They just gave us early releases to all of the films because we were doing a special bonus for them for Melanin Millennials. And I was like so torn between Bossman and I can't remember the other name of the film that I actually genuinely loved.
Sure.
Like, I genuinely loved it. But it wasn't like, I remember those two being like standout performances. And Bossman was hilarious because I had never just seen anyone really take the mania. Yeah, I just never saw anyone take that and just translate it into just like this sci-fi space. And it's so rare to see kind of Black British creatives actually embody like where sci-fi and fantasy can take you. And I wanted to know, what was your thinking behind that? Like, what did you guys do to kind of create that? Why did you get involved? Because it's actually a bit bonkers.
Yeah, it's completely mad. And I can't take much of the credit for it. So Teresa's my girlfriend. She's an amazing film director.
Mm-hmm.
And we live together. And we've made loads of films before together. On Valentine's Day, we got drunk on whiskey in a pub and wrote it.
You just got drunk and wrote a whole script?
Yeah, that's what we were like. We're not leaving it until this is done. And then 2 weeks later, we shot it and filmed it. That's our rule.
How did you even like get the resources to shoot and film something like that?
We saved up about $2,500 each and just threw all our money at this idea. So
that's incredible.
Like, an idea which is fucking stupid.
I mean,
like, we just went around
being
like,
wild.
Yeah, it's a bit wild. Being like, oh yeah, we're gonna spend all our life savings on this dumbass idea. That's fucking mental.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I love it dearly.
It's still doing quite well.
It's done loads of festivals. We're developing it for TV.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. And it's we've been offered a little distribution deal in North America to show it. So it's cool and it was fun and I love working with her. Teresa, and she's amazing and it's great.
What is that like working with your girlfriend?
I think it is intense. I think it's amazing. I love it, but it's a full-time thing when you're working intensely with a partner. You just have to accept that Teresa works in production and film, but when she comes home, all she want to talk about if we're in production is the film. And obviously I freelance all day, every day.
Yeah.
So by the time she's come home, I'm ready to just watch Blue Planet 2 with David Attenborough and just kick it for the day. So it's a really, it's a real balance, but I love working with her. She is a genius. She makes my work better. She inspires me to be better. So it makes sense for us to work together. You can't expect it always to be amazing. Sometimes you have screaming matches.
So, so have you made money from creating that as a result? So as a result of you putting all your money in, yeah, has that money now come back to you?
Yeah, but it doesn't come back in like one, it doesn't, no, it's I like don't get a check for $5,000. Yeah, yeah. It's not even that. It'll be like, so we got a little distribution deal, which we're looking at now, which is tiny, which is a few hundred pounds. And then there's other ways where it's like you might win money in a festival, yeah, or you might bag a meeting with a production company who have seen it, which has happened. And then you sell them another idea. I see that as that's what the film brought me anyway. So I really try to look at it. Like, also, you know, it's a short film. You ain't making that money back. Like,
yeah,
basically, I've got a very expensive hobby. I don't have designer clothes. I don't have a car. And I just make films about stupid shit. And I enjoy that. That's my expensive hobby. And as long as I can afford to do that, I will.
How do you afford to do that?
I'm lucky. I've been lucky for the last 3 years to be on Benidorm.
Yeah.
And that's just an amazing thing. And I write a lot for CBeebies and that pays a really well.
Yeah, so you write for Rastamouse, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first encountered Rastamouse, and my little sister, who is now 17,
yeah,
she was watching Rastamouse, and we were all very confused.
Yes. Like,
hey, there's this mouse. Yeah. And it's a Jamaican accent. How did that come about? And what the hell?
Well, see, I didn't create it. So
no, I know you didn't
create
it.
I've got no...
But you said, right, you wrote some stuff.
I wrote two episodes for it, which were... which was amazing. Like, it was... me and my friend have this thing, and we still do it, where if we want to meet someone, anyone in our industry will guess their email. So until we get it right, until it goes through.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, so it's literally like, oh, fuck it. Everyone at the BBC is first name dot second name at bbc.co.uk. We pay our taxes. You're allowed to know that. That's true.
That's true. That is
true. It's true. Everyone. So we started in that establishment. So I'd wait for a TV show to end, a comedy I wanted to... And we were young, mind, like we'd done one sketch on YouTube called Chicken Wing.
Okay.
About me eating my girlfriend's last chicken wing and she punched me in the face or some stupid shit like that. It's wild, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's wild. And we shot it in a park and we put it online to show our friends. And there's another sick story about the guessing the emails, right? So this is what leads us to Rastamouse. I don't just chat shit, I do sometimes. Anyway, so it was... Obviously, we're doing that guessing emails thing, and I had this cartoon idea, which I'm still working on, with the Rastamouse people. And I was like, I always want to talk to Rastamouse people about this idea.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think by then I had just got an agent or whatever, but, you know, I just do what I want to do. So I guessed their email.
Yeah.
And then the producer got... I emailed the guy, I was like, hi, like, I'm this guy, blah, blah, blah. I've got this idea about this cartoon... I love
Rastamouse.
Is this the Afro Kid? Yeah, this is Afro Kid, right.
Okay, got it.
And he was like, come in. And obviously over the years, I'd put together this book of all these ideas, but it's like this scatty 40-page book, no word of a lie.
Was it like a notebook, like a Moleskine?
No, it was like all printed out and looking all buff and shit. I went in.
As if?
Yeah, like... I went in. I was just like, because I had friends in TV and I would take them for coffees and I'd be like, tell me how you make a show. Like,
yeah.
They were like, you need a treatment, you need this, you need some pictures.
We need to go into this at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like there's people that want to go into TV and have no idea what to
do. Yeah, of course, and they should, and yeah, and we will. We must.
Yeah, we will. We have
and, to. So we did that. So I go meet him. He says, yeah, I'll meet you. And I give him this 40-page book. And he's like, whoa, jeez.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times. To spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
That's official.
Well, yeah, this is like, I've just met you. What the hell is this? I'm like, oh, I've got this idea, blah, blah, blah. I leave it 2 weeks. He calls up again. And he's like, look, I want to buy the idea off you. I love it. It's great.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, and then at the end of the phone call being like, also, do you want to work right on Rastamouse? And I was like, This, like, Greg Boardman, he is one of the greatest people in British TV I've ever come across.
That's a big accolade.
Yeah, he put me on, and also told me to demand the most.
In
the idea that you belong here. Like, we had another meeting with Greg, and by this time I'd written a couple episodes of Rasta Mouse and my cartoon. We were like in at Nickelodeon and we were chatting to people and it was going really well. And then a lady from CBeebies came and met us, like a group of diverse writers, and he basically set that up for us to meet this lady. And by the end of the meeting, we'd all got a job on the show.
That's amazing. So essentially, you guessed this guy's email.
Yeah.
Ask for coffee.
Yep.
Which is a tip that has come up time and time again on this
podcast.
Buy
him a coffee, or they'll always buy your coffee anyway if you're broke. So
that's
be
true.
Also
they
true.
Usually do yeah. buy you the coffee. Yeah. Instead.
Or just don't, if you're real, real broke, meet somewhere where you don't need coffee.
Need to buy coffee. Yeah, just get tap fine. Water.
Yeah.
Come with a bottle in your bag. Like, yeah. Here's this water.
And real chill.
Actually, walk up to the bar. Like, you bought the water, like at Evian. There's usually Evian. And then you just like, hey, I got you this bottle
Bam.
Of water.
Because you look thirsty. And not like that, but like, you know.
Your skin was looking a little dehydrated. Yeah, so I felt like you needed some water.
Get hydrated. Get me. And then start your pitch.
That is incredible, though. Like, I work in marketing, so a lot of finessing your way into things is like Email Hunter, the Chrome extension that, you know, you just put the at BBC or at Guardian and you just find out what their formula is.
Yeah.
It tells you every company's formula. Like,
what's this one? I even know this one. I've been slumming it out for the longest time.
It's a little fox. It's called Email Hunter or Bam. Hunter now.
Bam, I'm gonna get that.
And
tonight.
I'm like, if I'm on Google, so if you're on that website and you're like, I need some email addresses.
Yeah.
You just have the Chrome extension, you hit it and it will tell you like.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Either it will kind of give you the first name, last name, or it might be first initial, last name.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you what it is, at, what the formula is. What trips me up is when someone has like a double barreled last name. I'm like, I don't.
Oh,
do
yeah.
they dash it?
So those do ones, I do it until I get it right.
Oh, God, that's effort.
Yeah,
you know?
It'll take like 4 or 5
but
goes.
But I suppose if you really want what you want, you got to how
guess
hard
the
is
email.
It to guess
and
the email?
And 90% of the guest emails you send, no one responds to.
Exactly.
And it's heartbreaking. But the 10% get you paid. So
I've gone surprisingly far by like one guessing an email and then cold turkey emailing straight.
Straight. My boy, literally, that's what I was gonna say. My boy got the head of Warner Brothers to be his mentor on the same day that I got Three Stones Media guy, Greg, to buy my idea. On the same day we emailed two people's, we guessed their email. I guessed Greg's. My mate Stuart guessed the guy at Warner Brothers. And the guy at Warner Brothers was like, no one ever emails me.
What?
Like, yeah, come down and meet us.
That is the funniest thing, though, because there's this, like, whole philosophy. I think it's, like, that pretty girl philosophy. I don't know if you are familiar with this, obviously.
I'm
not
guessing.
Being the pretty girl that you are. I'm joking.
Well, thank you.
But, like, the whole pretty girl mentality of, because some girls are so pretty, they actually never get approached by guys because they assume that they're bothered all the time.
Yes.
So they actually have like a dearth of attention.
Right.
And are more likely to respond if you do. So it's kind of the same thing with really
big cats.
Infamous people.
Yeah.
That they think, people assume, oh, they must be bothered, so I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
And then
or what's the chance of them responding?
Yeah.
You're right, none.
And like, even if they don't respond, then you haven't really lost anything except for the time you spent emailing them. But
no, I emailed the head of BBC Three to my screenings, he's never responded, but I'm still going to email him. I'm still still like, I'm going to do it until he gets so annoyed. And he's like, I'll come. Because it's through love, isn't it? It's through me being like, please see my work, please. But I'm going to do it. Like, I'm never not
going to. Keep going. Keep trucking on.
No shame.
No. There was an actual Chromex. No, there was, I think it's a Chromex section that actually kept emailing people until they responded. And it wouldn't
stop. Too much. That's too
much. It was really, it was like every week though.
Yeah, that's
like
still too
once
much.
A week of like, that's hey,
that gets abusive.
I noticed you didn't email me back. I was like, this is, I tried it once and I was like, you know what? I'm annoyed.
Yeah, that would.
If I'm annoyed and I'm just like, no, I can't.
No, and
this.
When I say I email the head of boobs, I email him like maybe once a year
that's
with
fine.
My work and being like, hey, you are very busy, but there's going to be a time he's on the loo checking his emails, being like, this Nathan guy's still fucking emailing me.
Let me
see
like.
His shit while he's having a shit. You know what I mean?
So let's circle back to this book that you have.
What book?
The 40-page book that got you where you are now.
Yeah.
What is it? Why did you have it? Why do you need it? And what's inside it?
So I came up with an idea. So basically, my thing has always been so far in my career is that when I meet people, I try. So if I book an acting job or whatever, I always try and watch the creatives because I'm really interested in behind the camera stuff. So usually I'll get an acting job and then I'll meet a producer and I'll be like, so in this for this 40-page book, I was auditioning for Attack the Block, funnily enough.
Okay.
And I got quite far down the line. I didn't get it, but the casting director and me just really got on. And I was like, I was super young then, maybe like 17. And I was like, look, can I take you for a coffee and tell you about this stupid idea I've got? And she was like, sure. Like, do you
know
what I mean?
That's cool.
Fine, okay, you're weird, fine. So I took her, told her about it, and she was like, this is flipping great. Like, I love this. Here's what you got to do. You got to make a treatment. And a treatment.
What is that?
Or a one-pager. It's basically a summary of your idea.
Okay.
So just a one-page document that starts with the name of your idea, who it's written by, what the idea is. So, for example, is it a sitcom? Is it a feature film? Is it an animation? Is it what it is? So real early on, you're telling them, my idea is a TV show, a film, whatever. If it's a TV show, how many episodes is the TV show? Is it 6-part? Is it 10-part? Is it 10 minutes by 10 minutes? Is it 22 minutes by 6 episodes? Look, just try your best. I mean,
be as detailed as you can, essentially.
If you can. I mean, you're making it up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm writing like, how many episodes? It's as many episodes as you want it to be, boy. Do you know what I mean? Where the check is that what I make? So, like, we're not in the position now where, like, you know, Aaron Sorkin can be like, oh, yeah, it is a 52-part TV series on Netflix. Because when you're a don like him, you can do things like that.
Who's Aaron Sorkin?
So Aaron Sorkin did The Social Network. He done The West Wing. He's one of like, in my opinion, I know him by name, but I'm not. No. And I'm just, I geek on this. I watched the Hollywood Roundtable. Just all that shit. So
what 52-part thing has he got on Netflix?
No, that's me being facetious. There's none. But there's like, it's the idea that.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's the idea that you're making it up on the spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then you go on and you say a bit about the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about the main characters, talk about what the show really is about. And then you have that dreaded tagline, which everyone hates, or the elevator pitch, where you try and sell your idea in a line.
It sounds like a business plan, like a one-page
business. It's a business plan without numbers.
Yeah.
And if you have numbers, great. Like some YouTubers have numbers and they'll be like, oh, the talent in the show has X amount of numbers and TV people love numbers. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what they live on.
Yeah.
So I did one of those, which was really, really rough and dry. And then I met an illustrator called Dapo, who I'm doing my first kids book with now, which is insane.
Oh,
he's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. Congrats.
Thanks, man. It's with Penguin. We got a 3-book deal. Hey! It was sick. It was
shout
literally,
out to you.
Yeah, it was real cool, man. Like it's and it's I'll that's, show you some pictures afterwards.
I'm
really
looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm really
that's
proud
cool.
of that one. And so I met him about 4 or 5 years ago and I paid him like £50 a drawing. That's all I had. So we did some drawings.
Yeah.
And then I just filled out this book of just like the world, the characters, story ideas, bits of script, like just, do you know what I mean? Just anything that I'd ever thought could be a thing I put in and I just gave it to him. Like, this is your
like
problem now. Yes. Well, and then, but I think he understood that how new I was in the industry, so he didn't care.
Yeah.
He was just like, cool, you've got
ideas.
Was he
quite established already?
Yeah, he'd done like He'd done a lot. And but his main thing was to bring new people into the industry.
That's amazing.
Like, commissioning me straight away to buying my idea, which I didn't, like, what, selling a story? That's weird. It's my job to go around selling stories, and he bought it.
So what was the name of what's the name of the kids' book that's coming out?
Oh, it's called Look Up.
Look Up.
Yeah.
Cool. So when will it be in stores for everyone to purchase?
It will be in stores in 2019.
That's so
And then
cool.
The following book, 2020, and then 2021, yeah.
That is so cool, though.
Yeah.
With your one-page, essentially, plan, was that what you were pitching as a show originally, and then it kind of became a book, or is it completely
separate?
Oh, no,
they're so separate. So Afro Kid is like...
Oh, so this is Afro Kid that you're
Afro
pitching.
Kid is a total different thing. It's about a kid with Afro superpowers. I've been working on it for about 7 years, and we're in a very exciting place. I can't say it yet. We're off because I'm gassed. But
when can you say stuff? Because there's a real possibility this comes out in 2018, a lot later.
This one, I'm not sure.
Okay,
because I'm not sure. But I'll tell you when we're off.
That's cool.
Yeah, because it's really exciting. So yeah, that was the one page or 40-page booklet for that, and that's been like a series of massive highs and lows, but a massive learning curve. Best times ever.
Did you get a lot of feedback on it before you actually like took it to whoever's?
No, I didn't. I just Teresa. I made her basically bless her, and this is why she's the greatest. Is I made her the night before my meeting stay up till like 2 a.m. designing all the pages on Photoshop to look cool.
Oh my
Obviously
God.
Full of spelling mistakes, right? And then I go and get them printed off in a printer, and I went in. I just rinsed my bank
Did
account.
Did you get it like booked and bound?
No, not so much bound. I put it into a folder, so it was a bit butters, but you got to start somewhere in it.
Like the fact that you already printed off like 40 pages and put it in a folder. Did they have the plastic sheets?
Yeah, plastic sheets, man. It was real true. Yeah, it was like it was literally like a year six homework. Yeah, it was literally I was in year six, and there was like probably stars, stickers. It was just.
Oh, wow.
It was a terrible thing, but what it was me saying, I have an idea. And whilst it's 40 pages of trash, like, that in the industry now is called a production Bible. So what I did do was really think about how big the idea could be in the world. And, yeah, sure, it was full of trash, but...
So, to wrap up the podcast...
Yeah.
I want to know, what is the worst advice you've ever received? And to end on a high, what's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay, the first one is... I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to think of another one. Wait. What was the last question? What's the best advice?
Worst advice first, best advice second.
Okay, so worst advice would be to... Oh, I was thinking about that today. I'm dyslexic, right?
Yeah.
So... you see my emails, they're a joke. When I send emails...
I felt like they were fine.
Oh, yeah, but they're very just like... It doesn't...
It's very just... It's informal. It's informal. It kind of works.
Full of spelling mistakes, etc. Mm-hmm. Well, usually in emails. And I've had a few people be like, you have to be careful how you're sending emails.
I am that person.
Yeah. You've got to be careful. No, but it's fine because I today was thinking about that. And I was like, it's a sign of whether... we will work together. It's a sign. Like, if you see my email and you're like, this person, I cannot because of his spelling mistakes, we're never going to get down as artists. We're never. Because I'm going to write a script full of them anyway. And I'm going to tell you that now.
I love that, though.
Yeah, which is, I can't... It's like, I try, but if... And I've done it before. Like, I've got my mum and dad to check them.
Yeah.
I send loads of emails a day. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So now I'm just unapologetic with it. If you say to me, I can't work with you because your spelling mistakes, I'll be like, it's probably for the best, don't it? Because I was going to make you mad down the line, boy.
Yeah.
Going to make you mad.
That is so funny that you said that because I give someone else, a hard time about emails that you send. They are riddled with mistakes and I find it infuriating.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I've ever given anyone that sent me an email with... terrible mistakes. People have said spelt my name entirely incorrect.
But that's wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong because it's in the whatever.
Yeah, that's disrespectful and I don't like that.
I'll just move away from that because I can accept that autocorrect will do some shit to some people's names.
Yeah.
I can just accept that that's going to happen sometimes. But I've seen people kind of have a typo and ultimately it's not ruined the relationship. And if you had sent spelling mistakes, I didn't notice personally. Yeah. And I don't, I think also it depends on the circumstances. If someone's asking me for money, I might be a bit more like,
if you're asking me for money, you better come strong and hard.
Yeah, you need to come correct with your email because you're now asking me to make a transaction on trust.
Yeah, and I understand that.
So
you know?
I think it does depend on the circumstances where you will need to make a little bit more effort. But I've definitely been that person where I would prefer that the emails that go out and at least my brand is like consistent and well made.
Yeah, but I'm jealous of that trait. You know what I'm saying? I would love to have that. I don't, I'm just so scatty. I'm a scatty patty that it's like, my brain just doesn't, like, my tweets are riddled with spelling mistakes. I used to delete them and I was just like, I don't care.
My phone's just killing me with spelling mistakes.
Yeah,
lately.
I just don't care. Now I'm just like, whatever, innit? Like, I know I've tried my best. Know it comes with love, no more. So that was the worst for me. Personally
telling you that you need to write like perfect
like enough. It's so important that it's just gonna slow me
like
down.
You've never had jobs because
of it. It's just like, but these people love me and I love them, so it's not about, it's just that advice doesn't ring true for me. And the best advice is be audacious. Do not think that anything is unattainable. Like, we have Twitter means that 90% of artists in the world you can contact. Fact. And 6% of those 90%, if they're big artists who you aspire to, will contact you back. 2%, that relationship could be ongoing. And like, I'm making up these percents, there's no...
I was like,
where's he getting these stats from? Like, he's making them up because he's drinking beer. The idea that... And now me and my friends, we want to... people in America to see our work. So I'll do really audacious shit where I'll just at Issa Rae or at Ava DuVernay or any of those dons. And I used to be really self-conscious about it, to be like, people must think I'm a dickhead fan, be like, hey Issa, love your show, would you check worth it? And I know she's not gonna see it. That's why I know that people are seeing me and thinking I'm a dickhead. I know she's not gonna see it, but I also don't fully know she's not gonna see it. And for that reason, I will send it. But I don't send it once a week like you'll send with the email thing.
No, right? Don't do that.
Well, I just do it once, and I believe in fate. So if she's meant to see it, she'll see it.
I love this guy. You can follow Nathan on Twitter at Nathan Bryan. That's NathanBryon. And I believe it's the same at on Instagram. So do follow him. He posts amazing content. And you can check out his insanely funny web series, #reality, on YouTube, or you can visit realitywebseries.com. All of that will be in the show notes. If you like how this podcast is made and you think that you can do what I do, or better, then you need to reach out to the Shout Out Network. You can find out more about membership by visiting shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and on Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WannabePodcast. To get extended show notes listing all of the tools and resources that we have talked about in this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. And if you scroll down a little bit, you will find Nathan's face and his show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to leave a review. Bye.
In a time of disruption and fragmentation, there is opportunity to not only survive, but thrive. Now more than ever, it is important to understand how the U.S. is performing on the global stage. With over 600 correspondents in more than 50 countries, the Financial Times offers a unique, independent, and truly global guide to the world's new agenda. Visit ft.com today to learn more about the Financial Times.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.